It is Wednesday, and that means it's time for Senior Moments.
This is Senior Moments on KVON 1440.
Proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit. In collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley project.
And we are happy to welcome into the studio as our guest on Senior Moments this week, Assemblymember Cecilia Aguiar-Curry. And good morning and welcome in.
Good morning, Barry, and thank you so much for including me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you here. Let's get started talking about issues affecting older Americans in your district. And I wonder if you get more, this just popped into my head, do you get more contact, more questions and inquiries from older parts of your constituency?
Oh, absolutely. I think the ironic part right now is that the California State Assembly, I think this topic wasn't talked about a lot in the past. I do know Assemblymember Yamada years ago kept bringing up the silver tsunami, and I think many of my colleagues didn't really take it seriously. But as many of us are going to be in the Assembly for quite some time, hopefully, that our family members, our grandparents are getting older, and that it really affects the family life. And how can we make that life and that end of life better for our constituents? So you'll see a lot more people really being interested in aging policy. And so I'm delighted to help be one of the leads on that. I recently turned 65, and so I'm kind of planning out my future, to be quite honest. And I want to make sure that myself, as well as my constituents, have a good end of life and have great caregivers and great facilities. So we're working on that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we're like with so many other things, global warming as an example, we're in a phase of dealing with something that we've never had to deal with before. Mm-hmm. People just didn't live so long, a generation or two ago.
Yeah.
You know, if you were hitting 65, you were kind of like, well, I wonder how much time I got left. And now you might have 30, 40 years.
Exactly.
Does that make you feel good to think you might have 30 or 40 more years?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It does. But I will say is that I remember quite vividly when I was younger is that I planned my retirement to be at 55 mm-hmm. years old. And I am excited that I have this new life to myself because I enjoy being a assembly member, and I think with the institutional knowledge and that I bring a lot to the table for my colleagues. So it's a fun position to be in. Every day I love going into that. It's not a job to me. It just opens my heart every day of how you're helping people.
That's good.
But I must admit is that with climate change, there's a lot different conversations many a times is what are we going to do, particularly for our seniors, again, if there's fires, if there's flooding, where are we going to put them, emergency preparedness. So there's a lot of conversation happening around those areas.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, there's considering the older population's unique needs mm-hmm. is sort of woven into every other issue, whether it's transportation or housing, cost of living issues, all that, right?
Well, when I came on board, I promised everyone that I would really work on rural issues, and that includes obviously Napa. I have six counties, they're all in rural areas, and I wanted to make sure that our voices were heard and that we were at the table. And so many a times I have to do a lot of arm twisting education to colleagues in the bigger Bay Area as well as the LA area is to understand our needs are as important as theirs. We have environmental justice issues just like the next community does, but ours might look different. My disaster preparedness might look different than theirs. So many times I have to really kind of think about any kind of policies. What is the unintended consequences that could come up in some of the policy that's being driven primarily by the larger communities?
Mm-hmm. I would think that, let's talk a little bit about, wildfires and mm-hmm. the threats of that and mobility questions and emergency planning issues. Mm-hmm. Older people may be, first of all, less likely to get informed,
right.
Less likely to be able to act quickly to mm-hmm. evacuate or make a change, maybe less likely to have any place to go.
Right. So during the fires, we did finally see that. I represent Lake County, and we saw a big influx of issues that happened up there with the fires, as well as here in Napa, Sonoma areas. We had to really identify some of the, you don't think it's going to happen to you, right? And so now we've had to go through and figure out anything from hardening of homes and how do we get people evacuated and making sure that we know where people are, because many times during, let's just say, for instance, with the PSP, that we lost power in some of the areas, we assumed that we knew where everybody was, and quite frankly, we didn't. So those kinds of things keep coming up, and we're trying to figure that out. So ironically, yesterday, a group from the Napa-Sonoma area were in my office, and we were talking about disaster preparedness going forward and how we can do regionalization. So if something happens in an area, how do we make sure particularly medical supplies are given to that area in a timely fashion? And I think that's where we really struggled a lot, is on the medical end of how we get the health care to people. So we've done some legislation to help out being able to have not necessarily brick and mortar hospitals and doctor's offices, but if you have to do a pop-up, if you have to do an RV, something like that, that we could still get a medical help to people. So we're thinking outside the box. We're thinking outside of, you know, those that are on ventilators and those kinds of things that need electricity. What are we going to do? So it's a new day. And it's just not fires. It can be anything. So I'm really, it was honored that this group came and visited with me this past week, and yesterday, and we just talked about what does an emergency regional organization look like. And they pointed out there's a really good one in Contra Costa County, and we're going to touch base with them and see how we can work together and collaborate going forward.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What would you say, outside of that issue of the wildfire threats and all the related topics, what would you say is the biggest area of concern in your office in regard to older residents?
Making sure they're taken care of. We're really concerned about where people are going as end of life. We're finding many people want to stay at home, and how do we get the correct caregivers in there, and making sure we have educated licensed caregivers in there, so for safety reasons, and which includes working with police and fire departments. So I think particularly in this area is that because there's lack of access to doctors and nurses and healthcare, we have it in our major cities, but in some of the rural areas, it's still difficult to get those. So one of the things we worked on is, as I've told everybody, is that I want to make sure the rural people, our rural constituents, have access. So we did telehealth. And that, it was a bill this year, is so that people can call up the doctor. A doctor can give advice over the phone or over FaceTime or whatever to make sure they have some kind of healthcare access. And that helps because a lot of people don't have transportation. So just a good example was, I actually have a doctor up in Lake County whose son needed specialized help, and the initial doctor's appointment was all the way down in San Francisco, but the call could have been done over the phone for the very first call, and subjecting the young man, and it could be a senior, whatever, to a doctor's office when other people are sick doesn't make sense sometimes. So telehealth was a huge, huge bill this year that we're so proud of, because it really does help our rural communities, as well as our urban areas as well. And so, that's what we're trying to figure out and trying to make sure we have the access for everyone.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Telehealth. Yeah.
Telehealth. Mm. We did a telepharmacy bill. So when I first came on to the assembly, I had worked previously trying to get internet for all. And rural areas still struggle with internet. As you know, you can go up and down the valley here and you don't have internet necessarily, clear quality internet at an affordable price. And so I started working on that. I worked with Assemblymember Garcia, and we did a bill to work with the CPUC and all the vendors on getting internet for all. So we're working on that. But my long-term goal is to make sure we have access. So not only for seniors, but for our students, education access via the internet. Jobs. So we just really realize that our so many of our colleagues, constituents in the area are lacking some of that internet and technology piece. Even goes to agriculture. You know, many of our agriculturalists are doing a lot via the internet, trying to make sure the water, they use so much water, making sure checking different things in their field. So we need it just as much as anyone else needs it.
Yeah, it's not a frivolity anymore. It hasn't been for a long time, but people don't realize how much of the economy and our systems are functioning, you know, through connectivity all the time. I was just thinking, you're talking about your telepharmacy and telemedic, what'd you call it?
Telehealth.
For an older person, if you had video capability, a doctor could do a lot being able to talk and look at a person. Right.
And they do. They want to look them in the eye and have that face to face. I think where it's really going to take off on is telepsychiatry and mental health. And I went to one of the hospitals over in the Valley and actually watched how they do telepsychiatry on the phone. And it really opened my heart of what this is going to open up for so many people. And we're being very mindful of patients and how the doctors work. You can actually have a psychiatrist or mental health provider be across the country and help someone in the middle of the night and then make sure that they coordinate that information with a general practitioner. So this is just, it's going to really change a lot of people's lives, and particularly with the mental health. It's very difficult for us to find practitioners right now, and we're hoping to help some of that along the way. We're going to do a telepsychiatry bill for pediatrics as well this year.
Interesting stuff. Every time we talk on this segment about senior issues, housing comes up, and the subject of isolation for older people comes up, and we have sort of a, an irony. We want people to have the option to age in place, as they say, stay in their homes as they get older. And yet, for a lot of people, they have way more home than they need, while other people are struggling and don't have any home or not enough. What's moving in that regard, on that issue? Are there some thoughts about, you can't forcibly relocate people, and yet there could be some kind of programs maybe to do some more group living kind of scenarios?
You're absolutely right. The housing issue is so complicated, and trying to make sure cities and counties actually build it, or the developers build it. But one of the things I'm finding that's I'm hoping to work out is more senior, active senior housing that's affordable, reasonable, has quality of life there, as well as the senior center connected with it, just so that you have the social part of this. And I think that we are working towards that, because it also opens up inventory of larger homes that some of our seniors are living in and, quite frankly, are having a difficult time making ends meet. So we're looking at those kinds of things, and I'm hoping it works. I'm working on a project actually in my hometown, Winters. We just got the funding for senior housing, and there's quite a few seniors that used to leave town because there wasn't a senior housing project. And soon after, they would pass away because they missed their friends. And so I think having local housing projects for seniors is just so important, in their old neighborhoods particularly. But the housing project, I chair the local government committee, and so many of the housing issues come my way, and they're tough conversations, because what we have to remember is that what works in some places may not work in the other places. So currently there's a couple of very controversial bills coming up. SB 50, everyone's talking about it. It's going to be coming up, I think, today in the Senate. It's all related around transit housing, homes near transit. And those are all fine, but it doesn't work for our rural communities. So every single time we have to have that conversation, or not include us in some of those conversations, but it's tough. I also belong here in the Napa area to a group called the Bay Area Coalition, and it's a caucus of us in the Bay Area from Gilroy all the way up to Napa, Sonoma. And we have to try to figure out the housing, try to figure out transportation, and try to figure out jobs, because they're all intertwined. These are not easy issues, and we don't always have friends after we have these conversations, but we have to look at it differently than we did. Then you throw in climate change and sea level rise, and so it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah. I don't envy your job. I'd rather do this.
Oh, hey, it's a wonderful job. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. What other would you say are prime areas of consideration, topic areas in your work with the senior population?
Workforce, making sure we have workforce, and that goes all throughout healthcare, but also just for caregivers. So we will be working on a workforce development plan to provide education and certification for allied health professionals and to make sure we can help supply the need that we have right now. So we're in discussion with that. We don't have a bill number for it yet, but I'm definitely going to go for it. It's a great interest all the way through the whole healthcare community. They're just like, oh, we just can't find enough people to work. And, you know, in every ethnicity has different needs. What works in some families may not work with another, so it's really important to make sure we get the right people in the right homes and the right centers to help people out. So that'll be a big one this year. The other one is Alzheimer's. As you know, it's just incredible. A couple years ago, I had Alzheimer's meetings, and there'd be 5 or 10 people in them. This year, 30, 40, 50 people are in there. And people are grieving because they're coming to these trying to say, what do I do with my family member? I don't know. So one of the things I want to help do is break down the barriers for having this difficult conversation about Alzheimer's as well as any other health issues with our families. The system in California is difficult. We have a lot of silos. And some silos we will always have to have because of federal funding and California funding and how it works. But let's break down some of that to make some flexibility so families can understand where to go, not be ashamed of having to go take care of a family member or have someone else take care of a family member. Give them some reprieve. Taking care of someone is difficult. I did that. My father was ill, and he's since passed away. But as much as you love them and all the time that you want to spend with them and all the things, and I have no regrets at all, but it's hard. And luckily, I had a job, I had brothers, and not everybody has a support system. So the Alzheimer's thing, we will be doing additional legislation on that this year. I'm looking forward to it. And when the Alzheimer's group comes in, I just get so much joy. One of my best friends has Alzheimer's, and she comes in, and it's fun to see her, and she's so excited to see me, and I always get a purple heart or something when she comes in, so, yeah.
Well, that's about all the time we have for our Senior Moments program today. Yeah. Thank you to Assemblymember Cecilia Aguiar-Curry, who's been with us as our guest. Thanks for your time and all your involvement in these things.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and anytime, please reach out to me in my office, and we'll more than happy help you out.
And the program brought to you in part by Calabria Hospice.
Experience matters. Calabria Hospice has been trusted in Napa County since we opened our doors 40 years ago. Our compassionate medical staff is always here for you day and night, every day of the year. As the only nonprofit hospice based in Napa, our focus is on caring for you and your family. Through illness, death, and grief, it's our honor to share your journey. Call us at 258-9080, Calabria Hospice.